I'm Liz Carter, a science communicator from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place where community members, friends, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Park.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student, my science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
This mini-series is an interview-style show that explores the life and career thus far of Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy's climate specialist, Rick Toman. During these four episodes, we will examine how Rick found his way to Alaska, how his career has grown and changed over the last 40 years, some major impacts and successes, and how his career can teach others about how to best work within Alaskan communities. So last episode, we really focused on the origin of your career, the origins of your time in Alaska. In this episode, I'm hoping to get at the bulk of your career so far. Can we start by talking a bit about the move to Alaska? You were hired by the Weather Service in 1988 and assigned to Nome. I'm really interested to hear what you were working on and what your life there was like.
So the job that I was doing at Nome was very different than what I had been doing for the previous 5 years, going from a weather forecaster to a weather observer. So that was a big change, certainly going from State College, Pennsylvania, and I don't know, probably 40,000 students at Penn State at that time, to a town of a few thousand in rural Alaska was quite the change. I actually knew nothing about Nome other than where it was on a map when I got the job offer. So I scuttled around, tried to find out a little bit, but it's not like Nome had always been on my list of places to go. I knew that I would be starting not in Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau, but at a smaller office. But actually, I was hoping for Barrow, now Utqiagvik, at the time because it was Arctic. But the job offer was for Nome, and it didn't take very much thought to decide to accept it. So once I got there, you know, I had to learn a whole new skill set. A lot of what I knew was not immediately applicable. Obviously, it was to some extent, but not immediately. So I had a whole new skill set to learn.
Are there any particular moments from your time in Nome that really stuck with you?
A little thing that sticks with me to this day, again, in the first weeks that I was in Nome, I learned that what's a nice weather day in Nome? A day when the sun is shining. Didn't make the slightest difference what the temperature was, didn't make the slightest difference what the wind was. If the sun was out, it was a nice day. And that really, why is that important 35 years later? Because I think that expresses an attitude about the environment for the people that live in the region, but also was a very early introduction for me of what's important to people, not what's important in the weather forecast, not what does a forecast office in Fairbanks thinks important, but what do people who are living it think is important.
Could you expand on how experiences like this changed your approach to working in Alaska?
I can tell a funny story. July of 1989 was extremely cloudy and rainy in Nome and Western Alaska. A lot of days with rain, just solid gray skies. And I was working an evening shift. It was later in the month. So I was working a 4 to midnight shift. I'd come in, and so one of the first duties on that shift was to write the Nome and vicinity forecast to go out on the teletype and on the NOAA weather radio and to the radio stations. And I'm sitting down to do that, and lo, the clouds part, and the sun is shining brightly. And the forecast for the Southern Seward Peninsula, Eastern Norton Sound out of Fairbanks was tonight cloudy. So I put out the forecast that said, you know, sunshine this evening and then cloudy, you know, after midnight or something like that. And I had not, it had been less than 10 minutes is in my memory when I sent that out and the phone rings. And it's the forecaster from Fairbanks saying, why did you put sunny this evening in the forecast? It's going to be cloudy. It's like trying to explain to him, it's been incredibly cloudy here all month. People are noticing that it's blue sky right now. The sun's brightly shining. People are very excited about that. He said, well, it's going to cloud up. And that was the end of that conversation. And, I mean, it did cloud up overnight, but it was a glorious evening, made more glorious by the fact that it had been so cloudy. It was a good example, I think, of, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the sun on the hills. Might have even been a phone call about how long is this sunshine supposed to last kind of thing. The value of that sensitivity to not just what's happening, but why it's important in context.
If you were to sum up what you learned from your time in Nome, are there any particular takeaways?
Nome was my very first lesson in listening to what's important to people, as far as weather and climate impacts and the kinds of information that they need. It certainly reinforced, well, didn't reinforce because I didn't know the extent, but I learned how different rural Alaska is from urban Alaska, the cities, the rail, even the rail belt, different in the sense of what's the resources available, what's important, what's less important, and that certainly is a major lesson that has stuck with me my entire career.
In 1990, you would move to Fairbanks, where you would continue working for the National Weather Service until you retired in 2018. You worked as a general forecaster, a lead forecaster, the climate focal point, and climate sciences and services manager. Could we talk a bit about the challenges you faced over the course of your 30-year career with the Weather Service?
You know, from the forecast standpoint, a big challenge the entire time I was a forecaster was just the size of the area. And so you had, you know, for much of the first 10 years I was here, 11 years, you know, we were issuing forecasts for, you know, the Tananaw Valley zone, you know, which went from, you know, the Alaska-Canada border, southeast and northway, all the way to Tananaw. Well, and including the whole of the north side of the Alaska Range. Well, the weather in there is wholly different, and you get three sentence fragments to describe the weather. How do you do that? You know, similarly on the coast. We had much better idea of what was going to happen than we had mechanism to tell people. How to work around that in the areas on the coast that you had hub communities and Weather Service staff, it was normal, in fact, during a big event, that you would call the rural offices and say, okay, here's what we're thinking. Here's what we think for Nome and for the area served by the Nome hub. So that was a mechanism to help get a more refined forecast, at least so that the folks at the Weather Service offices understood that. Then we hoped they would be able to convey that out to their region.
And how does your work at the Weather Service transition into working with ACAP?
So ACAP was started in about 2006. And because I was the climate focal point for the Fairbanks office, I very early on, by 2007, was coordinating with them. Sarah Traynor was the original program manager. She's, of course, now the PI. And I was working with her. A lot of that was contributing information or articles to the newsletter that ACAP produced at that time. And I was one of the first webinars that ACAP did when they started the webinar series I was an early contributor to that. So I had been working with ACAP for a long time before I retired.
The Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy, or ACAP's, webinars focus on providing up-to-date and locally to regionally relevant information to Alaskans about the changing climate and how it impacts day-to-day life. Risk contributions have included monthly climate briefings, as well as special annual reviews on things like spring breakup and green up. Rick, you shifted into a new role as Climate Sciences and Services Director at the National Weather Service, where one of your main goals was to increase visibility for Alaska in the Weather Service. How did this new position impact your collaborations with ACAP?
So I met with Sarah, and we very quickly settled on a project that I could help ACAP with. In the early days of ACAP, they had developed this weather and climate highlights tool. And by 2013, it had kind of sat fallow for 2 or 3 years. And so Sarah suggested, hey, if you could get that up to date, you know, back populate it from when we stopped regularly doing it, and then keep it going forward, that would be a big help to us. And I said, well, that's, you know, keeping abreast of what's happening is one of the things that this job is supposed to do. So that sounds like something I could do. So I had been closely working with ACAP on that, and then the other things like the newsletter, like providing webinars on occasion, especially intensely from 2013 to 18. And when I let Sarah know that I was planning on retiring, you know, she just, you know, well, if you want a job in retirement, you know, we'd love to have you. And so one thing led to another, and now we're doing this interview.
Alaska Voices is a place for communities to connect through conversation. This mini-series was created by Liz Carter, an Alaska Fellow at the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy. ACAP is housed at the University of Alaska Fairbanks International Arctic Research Center and is one of several climate adaptation partnerships teams funded by the NOAA Climate Program Office. ACAP works to build healthy and thriving Alaska communities, economies, and ecosystems in a changing climate. This project was supported by the Alaska Voices team. If you're interested in more conversations or information, please visit alaskavoices.org.